Recording has started.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on Wednesday, February 6, 2019. In the interest of time, attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room and the phone bridge. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking to the transcript and to keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. With this, I'll turn it over to the BC Chair to begin. Claudia, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chantal, and thank you very much, everybody, for participating throughout today's call. In the interest of time, I will give the floor to Steve for the policy discussions and review of the policy calendar. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Claudia. Chantal is loading the policy calendar. I sent an updated one last night because I had something to add to it. So if any of you don't have that email, it's something I'm happy to send to you separately. And this is the updated one. Thank you very much, Chantel. We have not filed any new comments since our last call. There was one due earlier this week, which would have been the BC's comment on the Registrar Stakeholder Group's proposed changes to their charter. I want to thank Staten, Chris Wilson, Marilyn Cade for taking a look at whether we would comment on that Registrar's charter. But the drafters concluded that we did not have an adequate BC interest to comment on their charter regarding the voting rights of registrars who also had registry interests. So the drafting team said, on balance, let's not do a comment, and I went with the advice of the drafting team. So we did not file on that. Let me turn to the currently open public comments. We have just a few of them that are relatively brief that I would like to review on today's call since they're due in the next several days. The first one is our comment on ICANN's draft fiscal year 20 operating plan and budget and their five-year op plan. Those comments close in just a few days on the 8th of February. And I want to thank Jimson, who did a draft. So Chantel, could you please load the third attachment PDF? And I will ask any BC member who's looking at the draft email from me to just simply click on the third attachment if you want to see it on your own device. This is Jimson's draft on the FY20 op plan and five-year plan. Jimson, I don't see you listed there, so I'm not sure if you're on the line. If you are, I'll ask you a question or two. Jimson, are you there?
Steve Jimson is on the bridge normally.
Yes, Steve. Yes, I'm online on the call. Yes.
Jimson, got it. Jimson, I am displaying to your colleagues in the BC, the one-page draft for the FY20 op plan and five-year plan. And I note that you add a request that the intersessional be restored. And I think what we had proposed is that intersessional could occur every other year, be skipped to release funding for other key community initiatives. And when you say to restore it, I realize we're just restoring it for 1 year. We're not necessarily saying every year it needs to be there, because I believe the BC sentiment is every other year is sufficient for the NCPH intersessional.
Yes, this is Jimson speaking. Steve, you're right. Every other year, yeah, alternate year to perhaps to be updated to reflect that. Yes.
Thank you.
Every other year. That's what we say.
Thank you. So on page one, we do need to amend what you have in the draft, because our reader would see that and believe that we want it to be restored every year from now on, and that would affect a five-year outlook. So why don't we clarify that we mean every other year? Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Great. And you've got a comment in here on crop. We're asking for BC outreach funds to be sustained, for crop to be restored to what it was in fiscal year 18, and I certainly think that'll join the support of the BC members. I'll ask now if anybody else on the call has any other comments on the draft you have in front of you, the third attachment to the policy calendar. Okay, great. Thank you. Jimson, stay on the line and stay active, because we're going to be coming to a couple of more drafts from you in a few moments. The second item on the policy calendar is another comment that's closing on the 11th of February. And this is an updated set of operating standards for the specific reviews. Remember, specific reviews are things like the SSR, the ATRT, the WHOIS review, and the new GTLD expansion review. We have two BC members who are participating in a current review on SSR, Scott McCormick and Tola. They had volunteered 2 weeks ago to draft a BC comment, but I don't have a draft yet. I know that Tola said he would work on one, but we need to get that circulated very quickly. I will follow up again with Scott and Tola because we are only about 5 days from that closing of that period. Let me jump now to another one that Jimson and Tim Chen drafted. And Tim is unable to be on the line today. This is the third item down, and it's attachment number 4. Chantel, would you please load the PDF of attachment number 4? This is a BC comment on ICANN's strategic plan for fiscal years 21 to 25. Let me clarify with everyone that Shireen Chalabi is very keen to focus everyone's attention on the strategic plan for ICANN. When he made a tour after becoming chair, he ended up speaking about the strategic plan almost every time as one of his top priorities. And now, I also point you to the fact that when we meet in Kobe, the very first high-interest topic session is about the strategic plan and what Shireen and the board have in mind. So he clearly is making that his legacy and his signature achievement at ICANN. So it behooves us to pay an awful lot of attention to what is in that strategic plan. Chantel, thank you for loading that document. Again, this is a relatively brief one, and thank you, Jimson, for drafting it. I would invite Jimson to add any color as to what he's got in here and invite BC members to give some feedback on what's here. Jimson?
Yes, thank you, Steve. This is Jimson speaking. On broad review of the document presented, it was clear that a lot of work has been done on it. A lot of work indeed has been done. And the document actually captures the aspiration. Even though I was of the view that perhaps it could capture more aspiration as the document, more than the document anticipated, but later saw that it makes sense to be modest, even in the aspiration. Because looking at the vision, I thought earlier that the vision needed to really note that ICANN is the champion. Because really, from my perspective, ICANN has done a lot when it started, pushing the single network, DNS-based network, that has grown the economy of the world considerably over many years. But with other people's view coming in, that is better to just be modest as it is, being a champion. So I think that is still okay. And that is what we settled down on. But we wanted clarity on a particular phrase, global public interest. Because it needs to be defined so that people don't have a different view of what is global public interest, even though we know what to serve majority of the world population. But that still needs to be clarified to avoid some of different interpretation down the line. And then finally, the issue of the objectives. Goran has mentioned many times that there is no specific prioritization for the objective. But at the same time, I think we need to prioritize. There is need to focus that this objective one is really priority, especially ensuring that I can keep fit, you know, with the ANA function, with securing, you know, the DNS system, and making sure that it serves the global public good. So, in short, the strategic plan is good. I think they've done a lot of work, and we, by and large, onboard many of the positions reached earlier in these documents. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Jimson. You and Tim Chen, I think, have done a solid job on this. I do believe we should amend our comments so that whenever we reference one of the five strategic objectives, that we repeat the objective and then put our comment right underneath it. That'll make it easy for BC members to understand what we're speaking about. And thank you, Chantel, for putting that link. So in particular, I have noted personally, and Margie Milam and Mark Svantrak can attest to this, that the PDP process feels broken, and that may entirely be because of the balance of power, or I should say the imbalance of power, when GNSO does voting. Whenever the NCSG and the contract parties are aligned, it's almost impossible to change anything in a way that suits the interests of business users and registrants. So Shireen is sensitive to that and has said so many times. And I believe that's part of why we see one of the five strategic objectives is to improve the multi-stakeholder model. I believe that is code word for potentially changing the way consensus is reached in GNSO, the most important place where we operate on policy. So I do think it's wise in Jimson's draft to support that issue. But I might even suggest we go a little bit stronger in that vein, is that ICANN has to take a broad look at the way GTLD policy is done, and it includes the effects on parties who aren't voting members of GNSO, like the ESSAC, the ALAC, and the GAC. They have something to say that often aligns with our business interests, but they don't have any votes in GNSO. Any other comments or suggestions for the drafters? Jimson and Tim, thanks again. Chantel, if you could please put back the policy calendar. I'm jumping now to number four, which is an amendment to the IANA naming functions contract. And again, this contract came to ICANN once we accomplished transition from the U.S. Commerce Department, and they're simply asking whether we want to make any changes to that contract itself. Those comments close in 2 weeks, and we do need a volunteer from the BC to draft those comments. Do I have any volunteers that consider themselves customers of the IANA naming functions? For instance, Amazon and Google, to the extent that you do use, and Microsoft as well. You are a customer of the IANA functions when it comes to delegations of your TLDs and even for number blocks. Not a very difficult comment to file, but it does require a little bit of perspective. I'll continue to look for those volunteers. Number five is the consultation on a two-year planning process. And this doesn't close until the 20th of February, so we'll have some time. But in this particular comment, ICANN is proposing, instead of doing the budgeting every year, they're suggesting going to a two-year cycle to do a budget. Now, Jimson drafted one. Jimson comment on this. It's attachment number six to the policy calendar. And in there, Jimson, who does the most of the work for the BC when it comes to these annual fire drills of the budget, Jimson is recommending that ICANN stick with a one-year budgeting cycle. That is the only comment I sort of wanted to cover today on the call to get a feel for the rest of the BC members, whether you think a two-year or a one-year when it comes to ICANN's budgeting. So I'll take a cue on that. Let's please hear from BC members. Jimson does most of the work and believes that there is time and space to do it. Jimson, I have to say to you, I shudder to think what the BC would do if you were not our vice chair for finance administration. Would we find another Jimson someday that was willing to do the work every year? Because if not, we'll wish we had voted for 2 years. All right, hearing nothing, I'm assuming BC members are comfortable sticking with the 1 year. All right, thank you. Number six on here is a customer standing committee, and I'll ask Chantel, if you don't mind, please load attachment number five. A big thank you to John Berard, who attacked this one right away. It's not even due until 25th of February, but John's come up with an excellent draft comment. I'd like to get your reaction, and I do think that he's right to emphasize that the customer standing committee will only work if the liaisons that are appointed to be on the committee show up for the meetings. And this particular review, this initial report, says that attendance is a real problem. So John is calling that out here. The BC does not have a member on the Customer Standing Committee. So it's not as if we're going to take it on a boomerang on this one. But I do believe that John is right. We want to emphasize the need for people to attend. John, is there anything you want to add about your draft?
No, it says what I wanted it to say. The liaisons are from either SOs or ACs that are not registry members of the GNSO or members of the CCNSO. So it is a technical committee, which may be a reason why non-technical members are hit and miss with their performance. But it's a pretty essential one because it carries over, it transforms some of the IANA responsibilities to ICANN, and so we should be mindful of it. And because the liaisons are not consistently in attendance, it makes me wonder if perhaps there's a lack of awareness, at least, and maybe a misunderstanding of what the CSC does. I'd rather have more information than less, because that cultivates suspicion. So that's my motive in writing this.
The one member of that liaison committee who's from the GNSO, non-contract party, is James Gannon of Ireland, who I'm going to guess that James is among those who's had a spotty attendance record. And
none of the liaisons are bathed in glory. That's true.
Okay, good point. But the BC will want, perhaps, to put one of our members up for that non-contract party GNSO liaison next time around. We did support James when he put his name forward. Are there any comments from BC members for the draft that John's prepared? Great. Thank you, Chantel. Would you put the policy calendar back up? And thank you, John, for the drafting. I have a whole section on the policy calendar on modification of WHOIS policies to comply with GDPR. There's only two items in that list I wanted to focus your attention on. I'll scroll down to that. It's right down at the bottom. The first was on last Tuesday. Scott McCormick, Jimson, and I did a call with Joran. Claudia was unable to join. And we focused pretty tightly on the EPDP and the Unified Access Model. And then I have enclosed, as Attachment 7, some staff notes that David Olive took on the call. Scott and I probed Joran over what progress is he making with data protection authorities, data protection board, and the European Commission on finding a way to shift legal responsibilities so that ICANN could require contract parties to respond to queries from accredited entities under the Unified Access Model. Joran said that most of his progress has been in two areas. First, he's working with Europol to try to get accredited. The second thing he said is looking at Recital 45 of the GDPR, he is trying to get the European Commission to come up with draft language for the Parliament to consider that would declare that parts of the DNS are public interest service, and he believes that would reduce the risk of a contract party incurring a fine if it responded to a WHOIS request from an accredited entity. So I'm trying to make a long story short, because Joran didn't want to give us too many specifics. He didn't share any names. But he seems to believe there is some hope with a text that's already been agreed to that might have to be voted on in the month of March before the European Parliament elections. Claudia, if you don't mind, I'd like to turn to you for any color you can add, since you're our resident expert on what happens in Brussels.
Sure. Thank you, Steve. In fact, what it is happening is that they're trying to find a solution, as you say, to have a link to the public interest for the GDPR to allow transfer of data. So one solution that they have thought about is to insert language into the ENISA regulation that is being currently negotiated and should be voted, before March, in any case, in the March plenary session. So what they have been putting as language in a recital is that basically the DNSA is public good, not public interest. So now what is needed is that the text of this ENISA regulation is being reviewed by lawyer linguists, so it's composed of people in the Commission, Council, and Parliament to improve the text. And one ask that ICANN has or is trying to achieve is basically that to make the link between public good and public interest, so that maybe linking it to the GDPR, there would be some ground for transferring data. Now, I had some conversation also internally in the Commission, and they're looking at that. Of course, the Commission is willing to help, but they were trying to understand how to make that work. It's not, also lawyer linguists will need to improve the text, and it's not said that this link will be automatically made. And then also it remains to be seen how this work with the GDPR and how DPA could possibly interpret it, because it's another regulation to which they are referencing. So, I mean, I'm happy to keep you informed around how things go and whether the Commission manages to find a solution. I know that they have asked also, Goran, for some additional information in some language that has not been provided yet. So I'm trying to understand where this conversation goes back and forward, but they are looking at that. So if I have more info, I will let you know. But in any case, everything is happening between now and March, if it does. But my question, it's part of my conversation, is also how DPA can possibly interpret that. That is also something to be seen, because I don't know whether they will consider that as a valid ground.
Yeah, Joran had a different spin on it, believing that that if the European Parliament voted on the language, that it would be explicit enough to declare that DNS and thereby WHOIS were public interest services. So I think Joran is overselling, to us at least.
I don't know. I don't know if he has had maybe conversation with DPA about confirming that, but I think that there are different things to be explored. I wouldn't put too much hope. I think it can be a solution, but I wouldn't put all the hopes on that.
Okay. Do you have text we can review, Claudia?
Yes, Steve, I have shared with you the language, so you can forward that to the whole membership, and I can forward you as well the whole text of the regulation.
Please do. I'd appreciate that. We have a hand up from Margie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for this update. This is Margie. Claudia, what is your I know it's hard to read the tea leaves, but how likely do you think this might pass, by March, given the political situation in Europe and the elections and everything? I'm just curious from your perspective what you think the likelihood is that something like this could actually be adopted.
Thank you, Martin. It's a very good point. The thing is that, first of all, is now it's more at kind of technical level, because it's with the lawyer linguist, and so it's less into the let's say political arena. But of course, I think the Commission also need to understand better what the plan is, and so the timing indeed is very, very tight. I'm a bit reluctant that this can happen, but of course, if I can put all their effort behind it and try to make sure that all the elements are there, maybe this could possibly. But of course, I think it's very difficult. Then it wouldn't. I mean, for the voting part, it's less problematic, because in any case, I don't think MEPs will really focus so much attention on that recital. Also because, by the way, recitals are not binding, so it's not law, it's an indication. It's not something that would bind anyone to do that. So it's also another thing to consider. But I think it will pass once the text is improved. I mean, it will pass under the radar in the voting part.
Claudia, I pasted the text for the recital Adobe chat. And I see your point is that saying public good is not the same as public interest. DNS mm-hmm. doesn't always imply who is. So we've got to do better, I think, for this to be as helpful as Joran thinks it should be. On that call with Joran, he mentioned your name a dozen times as someone he greatly respects for the influence and access you have in Brussels. And I would say that has opened the door for you to do a direct outreach, a private outreach to Joran, and talk to him about language.
Okay.
Try to educate him about the ways in which this language needs to be improved if it is really to be as positive as he thinks. Now, remember that it's a home run if it ended up saying that WHOIS by itself is a public interest service and GDPR doesn't apply. But nobody believes that's where it'll go. Instead, it would diminish the risk of being fined when doing a good faith response to who is disclosure request, and that's likely where this would go.
Margie, and I also think that there are.
Yes, this is Margie. Just one more question. What is this a recital to? I didn't understand what kind of.
It's the. I will forward the text to Steve that can circle it so everybody. It's the ENISA regulation. So it's basically this regulation. ENISA is the European Network Information Agency in Europe. And basically, they are defining the task that ENISA would do. So the recital is, in fact, linked to an Article 45 of this regulation that defines the task. And the article says that ENISA should be assisting member states, agencies and bodies in developing and promoting cybersecurity policies. So the recital clarifies that among these cybersecurity policies, the DNS would be a public good, if I'm not mistaken. But so this is the link that they are doing. But it's a bit stretched.
And so, Claudia, I do think it's appropriate for you to reach out to Joran, considering he is very interested to hear your thoughts on that. Alex Deacon.
Sure.
Thanks, Alex. This is Alex Deacon for the record. I think this is promising, and I look forward to seeing that text. Thanks, Claudia, for sending that along. I think there are additional resources in Belgium that we could leverage to assist in the process, and I'm just wondering how or if that would be possible. I'd like to at least update, folks in Brussels who are interested in this topic, first with the text, but also perhaps even get them involved if it makes sense in order to help influence the final text version. So let me know how or if that's possible, and I'll work on it from my end. Thanks.
Claudia, everybody would like to know that. So after you speak with Joran,
send
a note to BC Private, including what you hear from Joran, as well as what you think you can do to answer Alex's question, which is really us asking how can we be helpful. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Happy to do that.
Thank you, Claudia. Appreciate that. Margie and Mark, as our tireless and peerless representatives on the EPDP, you were in the middle of trying to do consensus calls on phase one final report. What would you want to share with BC colleagues on the current status of state of play?
I guess I'll go. This is Margie. Things are moving really quickly. We are negotiating key issues and working on language at the same time with the expectation that we'll start doing consensus calls next week, I believe. A lot of the issues that we care about on the BC are being pushed to phase two of the work. Things like the unified access model, things like exploring the natural legal person distinction. There's a lot of areas like that are things that the BC cares about that we'll be looking at in phase two. Phase one is mostly the definition around what the purposes are, the process flows, the legitimate basis for processing data, that sort of thing. And so it will be an interesting discussion when we get to phase two as to how we proceed with those issues. There's just so many issues. I don't really know where to dig in. Perhaps Mark can jump in and Alex and share some of their observations.
This is Mark. There is a large list of open issues that are of interest to our constituency. I'm not sure that it's necessarily useful to go through all of them in this call. What is interesting, though, is that a lot of things are being pushed to phase two, and two implications, I think. One, if Yorin is successful in getting the DNS protected at a European level, then it's good for these things to be postponed because they won't have been closed off in phase one and we'll be able to take advantage of that fact. The other thing is that there will almost certainly be a push from certain parties and individuals to wreck phase two to ensure that we get nothing that we want, you know, for a variety of reasons. And so any consensus that is formed during this phase one process has to be explicitly contingent on phase two going forward in a timely fashion and phase two being resolved in a timely fashion, and that if we don't have consensus on phase two, that withdraws our consensus on phase one. I think that's an important consideration for us.
Mark and Margie, you did a great job drafting a justification of consensus, the assumption under which we would give consensus to the phase one report. I would ask, how did the conversations go with ESSAC, ALAC, and GAC about joining that consensus?
Sure, Steve, this is Margie. I can address that. Essentially, we described, put together a consensus statement that looks like Kurt indicated each group will be able to submit some statement as part of the final report, essentially saying that we recognize that our colleagues have been working really hard on developing these recommendations, but that there's a lot of work that needs to get done in phase two, and that our consensus positions are essentially dependent upon being able to work through those issues satisfactorily. And so we tried to share this with the GAC and the ESSAC and ALAC. ESSAC agreed with the sentiment, and so did GAC. ESSAC has a very strict process by which they go through to issue written statements, and so they weren't they didn't feel that they could do that in the timeline needed to issue the final report. But they were definitely supportive of the sentiment. The GAC also supportive of the sentiment, but decided against joining that statement. And ALAC has agreed to join that statement. So we essentially will have the BC, the IPC, and ALAC essentially saying the same thing, that the consensus essentially is contingent on, further work in phase two, and that there really isn't a complete policy until phase two is completed, just so that we ensure that we have a lot of attention, focus, and hard work in the group to sort out the issues related to the access model and fleshing out the details related to how intellectual property and cybersecurity interests could access WHOIS through the access model.
Margie and Mark,
Go ahead. Just one last comment. I agree with everything that Margie said, but I would like to caution that ESSAC has been an unreliable ally in this EPD, and that's mostly because of some of the people who've been assigned to actually participate from the ESSAC in the EPDP. They have, whether it's a matter of personality or conflicts of interest, their support has been unpredictable at best. So even though it would appear that they will support us on this, I will believe it when I see it.
Mark and Margie, thanks for your tireless efforts on that. And as you deliberate on BC positions with regard to consensus, rely on your judgment, standing on the shoulders of the work the BC did on the draft EPD report, where the BC approved the positions we articulated in that comment. I can resend it if you need it, but that's your guidepost for making decisions you need to make in the moment as consensus calls are occurring over the next few days. And thank you again for all the great work you've done. All right, thank any you. Other questions for Mark and Margie? Great, we'll turn to Channel 2, which is GNSO Council. Maria, Marie Petullo and Scott McCormick. Do you have anything to add about the two council meetings on the calendar? There's one for Feb 14, of which I cannot find an agenda, and another one coming up on Feb 21. Marie?
Hi, Steve. This is Marie. I'm sorry, I see Scott's not on the phone, so you're stuck with me yet again. I sent through to ExCom this afternoon, or this morning, my time, the agenda for the 14th, which was originally planned to be a discussion of the final report from the EPDP team. Of course, now what it is quoting an update on the final report from the EPDP team chair, Kurt Pritz, and discussion of next steps. We're also going to be talking on the 14th about the never-ending IGO-INGO saga. Where we've got to there, is that we have the leadership wanting us to give the first four recommendations approvals go to the board, even though we know the GAC doesn't agree. Whoa, that wasn't me. And the recommendation five, leadership thinks should go to the RPM working group. Again, as you know from the summary of the last meeting we had in Los Angeles, I don't think that's the best idea. I spoke with Susan about this. I've talked with WIPO about this. I know that Phil Corwin doesn't think it's a great idea. The reason is simply that it's very, very complex. The RPM working group is already way behind schedule. They're relitigating something that's been litigated already by the same people, because it's the same core group in the RPM working group is not necessarily the best way forward. Anyway, that's the meeting on the 14th. Backtracking slightly to the meeting we had in Los Angeles, the only other thing that I haven't mentioned so far is that, now I don't know how Margie and Mark feel about this, but there seems to be an agreement within the council that the face-to-face in Toronto of your group was successful, so no actual, quote, backup plan needs to be defined. You remember that Shireen asked council to come up with a so-called backup plan. However, there is concern about the implementation delay in that if there is a final report, if it is agreed, there will, of course, need to be time for the contracted parties to implement. And they were very clear in council that they believe that the definition of how that should happen belongs not to council, but belongs to the EPDB team. Okay, that's all from me. Back to you, Steve.
Thanks, Marie. Are there any questions for Marie on GNSO Council? And Marie, if you do get an agenda for Feb 14 or 21, feel free to circulate it to BC Private so that we all have a better idea. None of that was available at the time I put together the policy calendar.
I'll hit forward straight away.
Great. Barbara, turning to you for Channel 3 on CSG and Kobe. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, thank you, Steve. I just have three items I'd like to raise with the committee today, and I know I sound like a broken record, but I feel compelled to reiterate them. I really need your input on questions that we posed to the board during our CSG session with them. The deadline for that is fast looming. I would appreciate your inputs by the 8th of February, as I indicated in a reminder email that I sent around earlier this week, because we will be having a CSG XCOM meeting on the 12th, where we'll consolidate all those questions to ensure coherence and so forth and send on to the ICANN staff in time for the deadline that they've given us. In particular, if I know you're frightfully busy, but I would appreciate if Margie and Mark could take a look at the points that I've proposed for our combined session among all three CSG constituencies that will focus on EPDP and UAM, particularly in light of how quickly things are developing. Second point, meeting, I received a request for the BC to meet with new board members. Regrettably, that window had closed for the requesting meetings with board members, but we received correspondence that the board will have, all board members will have a lot more flexibility at ICANN 65 for such meetings. So I think we can certainly pursue that in Marrakesh. Finally, and this goes back to a point that Steve raised earlier, the importance that Shireen is placing on development and implementation of the strategic plan and getting feedback from the community on it. They've asked the community to come to Kobe prepared to offer four suggestions of addressing various questions that they posed. I have proposed one concerning how the community can improve addressing issues raised in both the strategic plan, the consultation paper on the two-year budgeting process, and the FY 21 to 25 operating plan. We need two more suggestions for that. And then also concerning outreach, I received a couple of suggestions for that point on outreach and included those in a recent email. I received texts from Marilyn, and I will recirculate that for everybody to review. So that concludes my report. Thank you.
Hey, Barbara, thank you. I did include a link to the block schedule and the questions you posed. In the Adobe, I've just proposed one question, which is to say to the board, your draft strat plan calls for improving our policy development process. The question is the board willing to look at changes to process and structure for how policy is made for GTLDs? I also, Barbara, would say that if you look at the draft comment attached to the policy calendar on the FY 20 and 5 year, you'll see that the drafts that we've discussed earlier on the call do include at least the current BC thinking on those two topics, and it would be easy to crib from those drafts some things to mention about the draft plan.
Steve, I'll copy and paste them in. I'd kind of appreciate if some of the people that drafted that would sort of step up, but I will copy and paste what is in that submission. Thank you.
Yeah, to the extent that you think it's appropriate, you'd only take what you think is sort of high level and has the right context for a direct board conversation, because the way Jimson and Tim had drafted it, it sort of assumes the reader knows a lot, and it's really not a cut-and-paste exercise. It's going to take some of the judgment and expertise on your part. So sorry for the extra work, but it's not as simple as a cut-and-paste. I'm sorry. Okay, that's all I've got. Back to you, Claudia.
Thank you very much, Steve and Barbara, also for the reporting. For item 64, so something that I wanted to share and that Chantal just actually said before the call is that the meeting with the new board members will not be possible for ICANN 64, so we're going to submit it for ICANN 65, but we still need to reach out to possible speakers for our BC Open meeting. We haven't received any type of contribution in this respect, so if we don't receive anything, XCOM will decide to reach out and we'll go with that. So please, if you have any ideas or any desire, send it immediately to Chantel, and also if you can copy myself within the next few days. Otherwise, we will go ahead with our thoughts. And that's the main thing that I wanted to share. For the rest, I will leave the floor to Jimson.
Okay, this is Jimson speaking. Thank you, Claudia. I'm happy to welcome a new member to BC from Panama, representing the body Aguila Group is Alvaro Aguila, Alfu. This is one of the outcome of Panama meeting, BC outreach. So, Alvaro, you're most welcome. And Chantel has already reached out to you. So please feel free, if you have any questions, feel free to request for clarification. Thank you. We do have a list of some members that are yet to fulfill their membership. They're not yet in good standing. So with the ESCOM and Finance Committee, we're doing a review, reaching out to those members. There are about 7 in number, or 10 in number. But we are making progress with at least one. But by the end of February, if we do not get feedback from the others, they will have to be withdrawn from membership for now. With regard to the to ICANN 64 outreaches, both in Tokyo and Kobe, You could recall that ESCOM approved some funding to enable about 7 members to apply, to have visas to be able to participate in the outreaches. So members concerned, once you have your visa or it's clear that you do not need visa to attend, please let us know so that the fund can be made available for your logistic planning. And with respect to update on the outreach itself, the chair of the outreach committee is with us, Marilyn. Marilyn, do you have some updates for us, please?
Jimson, we've lost you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm asking Marilyn. Is Marilyn there? Marilyn can go to give us update. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, Marilyn, please go ahead.
I'm very sorry about this echo. And I'm not sure if it's me or someone else. So the hosting organization in Tokyo have indicated, and Claudia may also be able to add to this, but they've indicated that Tokyo is an invitational event into 2 existing organizations' high-level meetings. One is the Keidon Ren, and the other is JACE, which is a Japanese research and technical association. And they have been pretty clear with us that we are being invited. A limited senior level of speakers are invited as guests. So it's really not a jointly organized session as we had hoped, but it does provide engagement for the VC invited speakers to meet with C-level executives to encourage them to send their staff to Kobe. In Kobe, we have much more flexibility, and I follow up with Claudia, but we have a segment during the ISTCP session on Wednesday, which is off-site, has an expected attendance of roughly 100 people, some of whom will be candidates for CC. Most are small ISPs from Japan. Some are the telecom operators as well. And we, our topic is security, stability, and resiliency with 2 to 3 speakers from the VC plus 1 from the Japanese ISTCP, and the session would be introduced by Claudia, and then the panel would take place, and then there is a open shared reception. There will be some board members. Other board members will be at a and Claudia can elaborate on this, that there's a high-level dinner for the executives of the constituencies and SGs. So the board will be split, I'm told, unless, Claudia, you have further information, with some coming to this reception and then joining the dinner in progress.
Okay, thank you very much, Marilyn. This is Jimson. Is there any question or any clarification required on the outreaches? Maybe why we await any form of clarification? We just like to note that we also make some arrangements for the newsletter. The newsletter will be printed in English and Japanese. And we want to thank some of our members that will be helping to link some of these newsletters to Tokyo and to Kobe. Thank you very much, the concerned members. And finally, since I cannot see any hand, I'd just like to make a clarification concerning the DC funding approved and the structure. But on this, there are seven people that applied, and on item number on number two, where we have Andrew Mark. Andrew Mark got an issue, was issued with a per diem. Actually, pay is supposed to be for Claudia, but Claudia does not receive BC, EC, or ICANN funding, except with the direct for travel. So that is why the per diem is a mark for Andrew Mark, and still leveled the allocation for. So I need to make this clarification following a request for clarification by a member. So the again is coming from Claudia. Claudia does not receive per diem, no cash funding, but basically the travel funding. So both the same, the $7,000 budgeted for outreach is equally distributed based on request. So just need to make that clarification. So on this note, I would like to return this to Claudia. Claudia, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimson. We'll certainly send this whole clarification by mail so that you can see that. I think both Jimson explained it quite clearly. I don't know if there are questions or any other items from the participants on the call. It seems like there's none from what I can see. So our next meeting is on the 20th of February, our next call. And in any case, we'll keep in touch by mail. Thank you very much, everybody, for participating to the call. If, we can, Chantal, we can stop the recording and adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much, everybody.